Chapter 37. Springo ran to join Bisky, splashing through the shallows to meet him. The young Redwaller did not hide his pleasure at seeing her so well and sprightly.
"Hello, mate. You're looking pretty chipper."
Springo smiled.
"You don't look too bad yourself. What's happening? Did we whack him?"
Knocko ruffled his pretty daughter's ears.
"You could say that. Rhoda's still not blinking at her to deal with yet."
Soilclaw surveyed the tunnel frontage, shaking his velvety head dubiously.
"Brr! He mostly hard solid rock, sir. Ain't a good lot of us can do about that. Nay."
Gobbo interrupted.
"Why can't you? You're supposed to be moles. Why can't you block up the hole, eh?"
Knocko glared at his garrulous son.
"Aye, bucket mouth. Give your job a rest or I'll boot your tail straight into that stream."
Bergie waved a hefty digging claw.
"Leave him be, sir. A young maester got a point. You're from. Us'll take a look further in. Come on, sir. Mayhaps he can help us."
Gobbo was not very taken by the suggestion.
"Who, me? No, mate. I don't know nothing about blocking tunnels."
Knocko grabbed him firmly by the ear.
"Oh, don't you now? Seems like you had enough to say about it just now. Well, me son, you can either go and help those good moles in the tunnel, or stay out here with me while I duck you in the stream. Please yourself. The choice is up to you."
Dragging his tail and sticking out his lower lip, Gobbo skulked into the tunnel with Bergie and Frub.
"What choice is that, eh? That's not fair, da."
Knocko winked at Bosey and grinned.
"I'll tell you what else isn't fair. The stuff on a bird. That's not fair. It's feathers. Fur. Feathers. Get it?"
The ghost of a smile touched Bosey's lips.
"Oh, very droll, I'm sure, my friend. By the by, did anybody mention breakfast? I'm fair famished."
Garrel, the elder Gowsham, called to some shrews.
"Set up a fire, and we'll see what we can do."
Whilst preparations were being made to serve food, Bisky and Springo joined the gonfalons to gather firewood. Gobbo came hurtling out of the tunnel like a stone from a slingshot. He was gabbling uncontrollably.
Quick, run, run! The other snake's coming down the tunnel! Run, or we'll all be ate alive!"
He was leaping about, waving his paws frantically. Knocko tripped him neatly, sending him headlong into the stream.
"Take a drink and get your breath back, my old son. Is the snake really coming, mate?"
Frub nodded.
"Oh, aye, sir, that he bees. Though the way serpent is throwing itself about, 'twill take some time, but he'm a coming sure enough."
Double tried hard to stop himself trembling.
What'll we do?"
Surprisingly, it was Gobbo who came up with the answer, summing up his solution in one word.
"Fire!"
Knocko beamed as he hauled his son from the stream.
"That's the first sensible thing you said in your life! Fire! No beast can face heat and flames."
Bisky began piling brushwood and twigs into the tunnel outlet.
"Come on, mates. All paws to work. Spingo, get a light from the campfire."
Shortly thereafter, every beast was dashing about, gathering anything that would burn. Deadwood, dried rushes, moss, old fern, twigs, branches, and rotten bark. Dusting off his paws, Gobbo stood paws akimbo.
"Ha! That should stop the scummy old villain. Just let him poke his snout into that. He'll get a good roast, and I can tell you."
Bosey watched the blaze, nibbling on an apple he had found.
"Aye, but fire'll no last forever, my friend. What then?"